Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God called to Adam and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." To the woman he said, "I will intensify the pangs of your childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall be your master." To the man he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat its yield all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you as you eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face shall you get bread to eat, until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dirt, and to dirt you shall return." The man called his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. For the man and his wife, the Lord God made leather garments with which he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing what is good and what is evil. Therefore he must not be allowed to put out his hand to take fruit from the tree of life also, and thus eat of it and live forever." The Lord God therefore banished him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had been taken. When he expelled the man, he settled him east of the Garden of Eden, and he stationed the cherubim and the fiery revolving sword to guard the way to the tree of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Before the mountains were begotten, and the earth and the world were brought forth, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, when there again was a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way. and some of them have come a great distance. His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, "Seven." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then taking the seven loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them distributed also. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 3. We have here, brothers and sisters, the first announcement of the gospel. It's called the proto-gospel, the first promise in which the people before the coming of Christ could put their faith that God would save us from the deadly effects of sin. You heard in this reading, of course, what some of those effects are, principally death. And we hear the famous words that we all hear on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of Lent, which of course is coming up in a few days. The ashes are imposed on our forehead. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Why? Because of sin. God did not make death. This was not part of his original plan. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. God says to our first father, because he was recounting for him now the penalties flowing from sin. Sin, as you can see, affecting not only him, not only Adam and Eve's relationship with God. They are expelled from the garden. They no longer have that intimacy with God. There is enmity with God now, the absence of his grace that will be resolved, of course, by the gift of baptism. But you also see it affecting the fruitfulness of the land and nature. All of these terrible effects of sin. But God promises in this very place, in this very same passage, that he will save us, because he speaks to the serpent. He speaks to the devil, the father of lies, the prince of darkness. And he says to him, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." So between the devil and our first mother, "I will put enmity between your offspring and hers." So there will be now a generational battle. She will have offspring. The devil too has children. And then he says, "He," that is, the offspring of the woman, the descendant of Eve, "he will strike at your head. You will strike at his heel." So obviously, the offspring of the woman, the seed of Eve, will have dominion and crush the head of the serpent. "You will strike at his heel." You will scar. You will do some damage. You won't get near the head. Here we are talking, when we speak of the descendant, the seed of Eve, not just of all the children, all of us in the human family who have to battle against Satan. Remember, this enmity continues through the centuries. And so we are warned in the first letter of Peter, the devil is prowling about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him solid in your faith. It wasn't just Adam and Eve that the serpent tried and he succeeded in deceiving. in getting them to sin. It's all of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we can blame every sin on the devil, by the way. In its origin, yes, he started the whole mess. But we do pretty well getting ourselves into trouble while the devil just sits back and watches. Don't blame everything on him. But neither should we ignore the fact that he does have a limited power over us, and he's real. We don't play around with that. People who go into the occult and, you know, invoking the devil and whatnot, this is dangerous stuff because he's real. But the point is that the enmity continues, and Peter says this is a real battle. He's prowling about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him. So the battle is foretold, but the promise is given that the seed of the woman, and again this is referring to Christ, will be victorious. Now the devil will strike at the heel, not at the head. Remember, Christ is the head of the church. We are the members. We all will be and are wounded in some way by this ancient serpent. Physical death, we sin, our mind is confused and our will is weakened because of the effects of sin. But ultimately, the promise of the triumph in Christ is given here. A triumph in a battle that Scripture comments on in various places. Let's take a look at the letter of Paul to the Galatians, for example. I want to share with you a little section here from chapter 3, where he talks about Abraham and his descendants. So we have the descendants of Adam and Eve, and then, of course, as salvation history progresses, we have Abraham, and God makes the promise to him, and he believes, and we are his children in faith. But St. Paul says, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendant. It does not say, and to descendants, as referring to many, but as referring to one, and to your descendant, who is Christ. So again, Christ. But of course, it includes all of us who have faith, because by faith we are united to Christ, and so he's the head and we are the members. But you remember also the parable in Matthew's gospel of the weeds among the wheat. Everyone was asleep, Jesus says. An enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop bore fruit, the weeds appeared along with the wheat. And then later, the disciples say, explain to us more about that parable. And Jesus said, he who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Now notice this and think about this dialogue between God and the serpent. Jesus said, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. So we are scattered throughout the world. We bear good fruit in the world of justice and love and holiness. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. So who are the weeds? The weeds, Jesus said, are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The devil, in other words, is presented by Jesus here as filling the world with his children. Those who believe his lies, those who follow his deceptions, those who fail to reject his empty promises and all his works. We resolved against these things in the vows of our baptism. You reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. I do. But the world is filled with the seed of the evil one. And yet, he will strike at your head as you strike at his heel. Christ is victorious. In the first letter of John, chapter 3, we read, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Again, echoing this proto-gospel, this initial announcement here in Genesis. And then a longer passage in the second chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus talks about the author talks about our consecration to God in Jesus. And the author says, he who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Okay, so again, our origin under descendants of Adam and Eve. And he says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Hebrews goes on to say, now, since the children share in blood and flesh, he, Jesus, likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. Some commentators have said this heel of Jesus is his humanity, that God allowed the devil to strike in as much as he was wounded and scourged for our sins and nailed on the cross and shared in our death. But that very death was the victory over death. So we rejoice in the reannouncement of the gospel. We rejoice that our forefathers in faith who came even before Jesus were able to trust in this promise. They were, as the letter to the Hebrews says elsewhere, able to salute it from afar, even though they didn't yet see its fulfillment in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. They were able to salute it from afar. Why? Because they trusted in the God who made this promise. Let's renew our trust in it today. Let's engage in the battle courageously, the battle against the deceptions of the devil. And let us say, yes, Lord Jesus, you have destroyed the kingdom of death. We rejoice in you. We proclaim you. We joyfully serve you forever. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.